Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Who's Who, African American Lit Blog Talk Radio Show, also known as the Spotlight. Friday night, we in South Florida, and it's a beautiful, beautiful evening. We got Joy Aline in the building. Joy, you with me?
Yes. Do you hear me?
I hear you fine, my sister. How you doing, baby?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm blessed and highly favored, you know, as always. Mr. Grown and Sexy, also Mr. Urban Lit. We in the building. How's the weather out there in sunny Oakland, California today?
It's going well. It's very sunny. It's perfect. You know, you can still wear like some long pants, but you don't need a jacket. It's just nice and sunny out here.
All right. Well, you know, I love the West Coast. I haven't had a chance to get out there. But a friend of mine, actually one of the authors that I work with, George Nyan Cash, was actually out on the West Coast this week, out in L.A., handling some business. Big shout-out to my boy Cash out there in the West Coast. I don't know if he's back home yet, but he was out there doing some things. But anyway, congratulations on your nomination for Poet of the Year for the National Poetry Awards. That's big things again. Congratulations on that, sister.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've been working with you for a while. You know, I've been pretty much read all of your books, Times and Always, Golden Series. The list goes on, and we'll talk about those books as the interview continues. But very proud of you and the work that you've done with your poetry and the recognition that you achieved. We talked in previous interviews about you being in the Oakland's Got Talent competition back in 2014, and it seems like your career has just skyrocketed and really taken off since then. How has this journey been for you the last 2 years, the last couple of years?
It's been busy because once you, like you said, Oakland Got Talent put me on a whole nother level. It took me my career in a place where I never thought I would be able to really reach that quickly. And so, you know, when I won that, you know, one thing was when I won the contest, and I got a check, you know. The National Poetry Award, the one that I'm nominated for, it was happening in September or August of 2014. And I wanted to get out and meet new other artists and other poets. And the first thing I did was I used some of that money to invest in a plane ticket and ticket to attend the Poetry Awards. So, you know, sometimes when you have that level of when you get up there, it's your chance to take that opportunity and get out there and go somewhere, leave home, go somewhere else to network. And by me networking, it that helped me take me to places I have never been to before. So kept me busy.
Yeah, no, and that's great. You know, I admire you for that. A lot of time people sit back and wait on success, or they think they've achieved a certain amount of success, notoriety in their communities, in their neighborhoods, you know, but you do have to travel. This is a big country. People may hear your name. They may follow you on social media, but what they really like to do is meet you, and you need to be in the places where those other artists are, where those other artists are getting recognized and performing, and kind of, you know, meet the competition or the other people who share your passion. So I get it. I remember that, talking to you, that you told me you were going to be out there in Chicago, and I've been dying to go to Chicago. I mean, I got so many friends out there, so many people that I work with, you know, in the book industry that are in Chicago. And even now, in the poetry and spoken word arena, a lot of people, man, Chicago's like a hotbed. A lot goes on there, you know, in the literary arts. And, you know, I'm cheering for you this year as you nominated again. That's 2 straight years, I guess, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 2nd straight year you're nominated. Is that the same category, Poet of the Year?
It's a different category. Last year I was nominated for Poetry Video of the Year and Poetry Author of the Year. And this year I was nominated for Poet of the Year. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's a big title to carry. But I'm honored for the nomination. It's really it's nice to be recognized for my hard work.
Yeah, well, you listen, I recognize that as a huge, huge honor, first of all, to be nominated the National Poetry Awards for Poetry Video of the Year. There's tons and tons of talented poets and spoken word artists who were considered, I'm sure, and to be one of the, I believe it was 4 people get nominated, and the voting is online at the www.thenationalpoetryawards.com website. So, you know, it had to be a huge honor to win Poetry Video of the Year last year. You know, that was a great honor. I'm going to give you a round of applause.
Yes, yes.
You win Poetry Video of the Year award last year. And now you're back again nominated, you know, as Poet of the Year. Again, phenomenal year that you've had, the works that you've published, and actually the performances that you've done. I mean, you've been all kinds of places. I saw the television interview out there. You featured in magazines. You're opening up, you know, concerts and venues, and you've really done a lot, man. What keeps you going? What is your passion that keeps you going? Because I've seen a lot of people, you know, have some success, and they write and this and that, but the passion, that flame can die out. What is it that keeps you passionate and keeps you, you know, striving for excellence and you know, achieve greater heights?
You know, it's more so, it's about what I'm blessed about poetry is that it's me being able to share a story. It's me being able to be a voice for someone else. So what keeps me going is, I mean, sometimes when you're writing, most of the time I write for me. But then when I share with other people and a lot of people relate to it, that's what keeps me going. It's like, wow, I'm not the only one that feels this way. So maybe I do need to keep getting out there to share this work, because it appears that it may help somebody. Maybe somebody who's in my shoes or have been in my shoes, they need to hear this. So what keeps me going is knowing that I am speaking something that's relatable to people that maybe could have an impact and change. That's more so what it is for me. And I have to tell people, it's not always about money. You know, money comes and goes, but if you want to be around, it's about the fact that your work is timeless. You know, think of musicians who work, Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. He was writing something that was important in the 1970s, but it's still relatable today. So it's about writing something that's timeless and just, you know, something that a lot of people can relate to. That's what they'll remember you for.
Yeah, I agree totally. That's why, you know, the literary arts are one of the most celebrated artistic arts. You know, you got people sing and dance and act. But, you know, the spoken word or, you know, the art of writing and storytelling or expressing yourself verbally is at the top of my list for artistic people. I think they're the most brilliant people on the planet. And, you know, since meeting you, I really had an opportunity to get to know a poet, an author, as an actress very, very well. You know, I first became aware of you when you were cast in the movie, The Unnamed, written and directed based on a book by Albert Nelson Hayes. And I had no idea how talented you were. I had no idea about your poetry, your spoken word talents and things of that nature. And you were a very humble person at that time. And, you know, if you continue to be humble, you know, amidst all the success and recognition that you've achieved. And when I say success and recognition, again, I'm not talking about financial success. I mean successfully reaching people and sharing your art and talent and your gift with people nationwide. You know, how have you remained humble? Because every time I talk to you, you know, you sound excited, you're happy, you know, you're looking forward to your next performance, you're looking forward to your next book. Right now, you're very excited about being nominated for the Year of the National Poetry Awards, and you're looking forward to going there in September. What keeps you grounded and what keeps you humble, you know, through this journey?
Well, this is the thing. In case people can't tell, I have a hearing loss. I was born with a hearing loss, and I nearly lost my life at birth when I got my hearing loss because I had an umbilical cord wrapped around my neck at birth. So I was taught at an early age that just that instant, my life was almost gone before I even came into this world. So I've always just learned just, you know, do your best. Once it's done, pat yourself on the back, but keep going. I just learned to just appreciate life and what it has to offer, because there are times in this business, especially this, and people have to understand, I love poetry. I'm also in a business for myself. And what keeps me grounded is, you know, sometimes this business can wear you down. It can tear you up.
Sure.
And I like to keep a positive attitude. So I like to be around people who are positive. I like to be around people who are like me. Because just as easy as we, just as much as fast as I went up, I could easily come falling down. So I just believe in just a steady pace, being happy about whatever it is, and just surrounding myself around positivity. That is very important, that people sometimes forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. And, you know, I feel the same way. You know, I feel blessed to be able to do what I do, travel where I've traveled, meet the people that I've made, doing something that I love. But again, I cherish every day that I get an opportunity to do my Blog Talk Radio show. I cherish the time I did my TV show back in D.C. Very, very happy. Those shows will live on. They're on YouTube. They're airing in reruns in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and they're on my website. So I understand being humble and thankful, you know, how you've been blessed to share your gift. Now, I'm going to change gears a little bit here. I want you to talk a little bit about your daughter. I know you have a little girl. You're a proud mom.
Yes.
I've seen the pictures you share on social media. You know, tell us a little bit about her and how she inspires you, you know, to be a good mom and be the woman that you are, because I always see you talking about your daughter. Just tell us a little bit about her and what she means to you and your success in your career.
Oh, so yeah, my daughter, she was in the movie The Unnamed. Actually, she wanted to do the movie, and she auditioned for the movie first. And then the director said, the producer was like, I like you too, the mom. So just so happened, I'm also her mother in the movie. What I love about my daughter, she's artistic in her own way. She can draw. And what I try to encourage that. As a mother, as an educator especially, I try to do beyond work goals. Like, I work with her at home. Like, okay, I know you're about to be in third grade. We're going to learn multiplication. Like, I teach her that never settle. You're always supposed to be learning. You should always try to get better. So, you know, I can't teach her something if I don't do it. So if I, how am I going to tell her, oh, you want to take piano lessons? But I tell her, you're going to have to practice. Do you understand commitment? Practice. I said, well, okay, how about this? You see, Mom, practicing, rehearsing her. I rehearse my poems almost every day in the car. I turn off the music and rehearse. You know, that's my rehearsal time. I said, so if I'm rehearsing poem, I'm not just saying it because I like to hear myself speak. I'm doing it to keep myself going, keep it fresh, keep practicing. So if I can do that, you have to be willing to do that too for whatever it is you want to do. You can't just learn something and be done. You got to keep going. You got to keep practicing. You got to keep getting better, keep using it. So being a parent, it helped put things in perspective, like I need to slow down sometimes. Because just because I get it, I'm an adult, but I have to remember I was once a kid myself. So it teaches me you got to slow down. Slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down, you know, just take it in. Take it a day at a time, too. So my daughter inspires me in just the way she teaches me patience. Because I'm a go-getter, and I like things to happen. And she teaches me, like, you got to remember, things don't happen in a day. You know, you're not going to get it right away. So that, my daughter keeps me, she keeps me grounded. She really keeps me grounded. I've actually taken time off a little bit from performing because I want to be at home with my child. I only have her for a few more years, and then she's going to go to college in about 10 years, so... You know.
Wow, yeah. Well, again, what's her name and how old is she?
Huh? How old is she?
What's your daughter's name and how old is she?
Oh, her name is Jada. And it's kind of funny because her eyes are hazel, so it matches her name. Her eyes. So, and then she's 8. She just made 8 in March. So she, I'm like, dang, time flying.
You must be very, very proud. Once again, everybody, it's DJ Gatsby from Wholesale Natural American Lit Block Talk Radio Show. We're on the Friday Night Spotlight with author, poet, and Joy Alon. She's been nominated as of the year in the National Poetry Awards, which is going to be held in Chicago on September 2nd and 3rd. So remember to go online, www.thenationalpoetryawards.com, and vote for Joy Alon as poet of the year. All right, Joy, interview's going great. We're talking about a lot of things, but I know there's a lot of people out there who may have not known anything about you other than that you're a poet and you have been nominated for Poet of the Year at the National Poetry Awards. But I want to tell everybody that you're from Oakland.
Yes.
And also, you rep in Berkeley, California, as well.
Mm-hmm.
Joy Alon has received a bachelor's degree in African American Studies at University of California in Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't stop there. She went on to obtain her master's degree. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, master's degree in education at the highly respected Stanford University.
Yes.
Wow, man. Every time I read that, I'm just like, you know, wow, this lady. Lady right here is, you know, intelligent, articulate, hardworking, humble. You know, she's a mom, she's an actress, and you do so many things, but you never neglected your education. You know, you pursued your education,
mm-hmm.
and you viewed that education in your work. You know,
mm-hmm.
The books you write, the poems that you write reflects
mm-hmm.
Those African American studies and the other education that you've achieved. I just want to mention some of the books, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the books that she's written. She has a book out called Signs of Life, Present and Future, which was published in 2011. She has Silence is Not Always Golden, A Poetic Revolution, published in 2013. She also has Silence is Not Always Golden, The Power of Spoken Words, which was released last year, 2015. And then there's my personal favorite, Institutional Freedom, a collection of African American studies essays that you did. And I mm-hmm. love that book. You know, today I can look back at that book and read it and read those essays, and I get a different perspective each time because, mm-hmm. you know, the subject matter and the topic is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so deep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still there. I'm still reading all the books that you've written. The book that I'm also very fond of is Life as a Canvas. It kind of showed a different side of you. You wanted to be more of a storyteller and to write a novel, and I think you did a great job with that book. A lot of people were very happy with it. And again, it showed another side of your talent, that you're really more than a poet and a spoken word artist, that you're actually an author and a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
You have an honesty in your writing because you seem to put yourself in it. And Life as a Canvas is definitely one of those books. Now, the latest book that we have, the one that I have now, we've been promoting this year, this dropped in June, it's called Holding On to My Pride, and that's the book I want to talk about because I know how you feel about Oakland. I know how you feel about gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
I know how you feel about, you know, black people and their situation, their circumstances economically. And you put a lot of that in that book. Tell us a bit about that particular book, because that's the one book I haven't had a chance to talk to you about during our previous interviews because it wasn't out yet. So tell us a little bit about Holding On to My Pride, your latest book.
So I came up with that book because I wrote a poem that happened to be in the book about gentrification called Old Oakland versus New Oakland. And I was nominated for an award last year called the Oakland Indie Award. And there was this time, one of the performers that I performed, she's from the Berkeley, Oakland area, she's asked, how many people are from Oakland? And out of like almost 1,000 people in that whole place, only 3 of us made some noise. So that's when it came to me, like, what is this? Like, who are y'all? Like, where y'all come from? Like, wait, was y'all not from here? So I started to pay attention. I've already been paying attention to the whole gentrification because I work at a recreation center that was in West Oakland, and it's becoming predominantly white, where they were calling the police. The police on church members because they was making too much noise. They wanted to find the church because they were having quiet practice early on the day. So I was like, I want to talk about this issue while I'm still a resident, because if I wait until I'm not here, it's not going to be as relevant. So the book came to me after I kept just seeing so many different stories. And each chapter is capturing certain incidents that were happening here in Oakland. And I just condensed in a shorter time, talking about, oh, the Warriors, that was the other thing, the Golden State Warriors. Mind you, I don't know any other basketball team that's called, named after a state. They're usually named after their city. So I said, hold up, just so y'all know. So, like, you have Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers, Philadelphia 76ers, isn't that the team?
Sure.
I'm kind of bad.
No, you're
but
right.
You know what
I
I'm saying?
It.
Right? So, for everybody else, you know, they got a city, but the Warriors play in Oakland. And I was just like, when they were winning the finals, they showed the whole Bay Area. I'm like, no, we're not the Bay Area. We're Oakland. So I just got upset and just started writing. And I wanted to talk about what it's like to be a black person going home in your neighborhood, but because white people are moving in, they're calling the police and there's a suspect walking down the street. What do you mean a suspect? I'm a resident, you know. So I wanted to talk about that, and I'm glad that I'm speaking about it because it's catching people's attention about gentrification here in Oakland. So I wanted to talk about what is it like for me. I have to work a few jobs, and I literally work a few jobs to survive. I live with my mother and all of those issues. So that's why I call it holding on to my pride, because I'm from here. I'm proud of my city, and I don't want to have to move away. But, you know, a lot of people are moving away because they can't afford to live here, but they work here. So it's like, this is not making any sense.
No, welcome to gentrification. That happens all over the country. It happens to so many African-American neighborhoods, which were all predominantly white at one time. But through economics and, you know, a lot of times white people leave these cities or leave these towns to go establish, you know, other neighborhoods. At some point in time, and I don't really know the economics or why this takes place, they want to come back. It happened in Harlem, in New York City. It's happened in Brooklyn, in New York, with these, you know, poor, you know, black neighborhoods, but thriving cities because you have working class people there, suddenly have outside developers, realtors, business owners who want to come back to these neighborhoods, which they had forsaken, but, you know, have thrived being predominantly black. And that's what they do. You know, the property values go up, the rents go up, the small business people can't afford to keep their businesses, small owners, homeowners can't afford taxes, people who rent can't afford the rent anymore. And low-income housing, it becomes scarce, and all of a sudden there's luxury condos and luxury this and luxury that, and people of color or people who are less fortunate can't afford to live in the neighborhoods that they've grown in, up in, and learn to love. So I get it, what's going on out there in Oakland. That book, it definitely shed some light on that. Now, but I also noticed in the book, in the synopsis that you said that was sequel to My Life as a Canvas.
It's a continuation.
That story kind of continued on because of Allegra being from Oakland.
Yes.
Wow, that's great. That's great. That was a short read. It's a very valuable book because sometimes, in particular, me, you know, my taste in reading has changed. You know, when I first got in this business, I was reading a lot of urban fiction, street fiction, urban lit. But I've started to read more of contemporary literature that has more of an educational value, more of a value when I'm learning something or I'm being made aware of something, you know, doing what I read. Because, you know, as much as I love to read, I'm also a lifelong student. I'm always looking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the world that goes on around me. Books like Holding On to My Pride helps me with that. So kudos to you on that book.
Thank you.
Before we go, we're going to wrap in a few minutes. Let's talk about the National Poetry Awards, man. You're geared up. You're campaigning. You know, I'm doing all I can to help you get noticed. When I think people read your work, follow you, they will be inclined to vote for you. There's a lot of people who vote in these awards don't really know who all the poets are. Either it's regional, West Coast people are going to vote for the West Coast candidate. You know, Midwest people will vote for Midwest, or the South or the North will vote for people from their region. You know, what do you have to say, you know, because I know you're well-known on the West Coast. And again, being a winner in the National Poetry Awards last year for Best Video, you should have some name recognition as well. What do you have to say to those people out there who have not voted, who don't know who Joy Lyon is, but you'd like them to follow you, look at your work, and vote for you as Poet of the Year in the National Poetry Awards. What would you like to say to those people?
Please just check me out. I've been doing what I've been doing for 5 years. I'm consistent. I'm about the grind. I'm about, you know, being out there with the people. So, you know, support me. First off, I'm the only one nominated from the West Coast. Everybody else, I don't, they all over there. But it's like, wow, I'm the only one. And I know some top name poets. But, you know, for me,
absolutely,
it's like I want to win this to represent Oakland, to represent the Bay Area, Berkeley, and just see the hard work that I put into why I've got this nomination. So if you want more information, go to my YouTube and check out my videos and my interviews, and you'll see this is why I am nominated for Poet of the Year, because I stay out there doing my thing. I've traveled. I've been to L.A., Virginia, Detroit, New Mexico, and I stay traveling. So, you know, just get to know me. Check out my YouTube. There are a lot of articles about me. I mean, every time I go, and plus, I'm the only disabled poet out there, as far as I'm concerned, that's been nominated. So it's wow. This is really, really big. It's just like, oh my goodness. I'm representing a lot of people. I'm representing the disabled, the women, the West Coast. But nah, it's a proud moment, and I just want you to see why I'm nominated. So just check it out, and please just take a few minutes of your time to go vote.
Yeah, wow, that was some campaign speech right there. I gotta get that.
You know, if I can add real quick, the whole point is, for me, I came kind of in a sense out of nowhere, and I didn't know that this path was possible just from writing my first poetry book, Sounds of Life. So this is just an accomplishment of just how far you can go. What, you know, you don't know where you'll go, but if you stay on this path and keep doing your sharing your gift, you'll never know, you don't know where it will take you. So that's the main thing. It's like, wow.
Yeah. Listen, I understand your situation. I understand how you feel. You're an underdog. You're not a crowd favorite. You're not as well known. As I said, you're one of the only poets, if not the only poet, who's nominated in any of the categories for the National Poetry Awards. You were a winner in 2015. You're back again in a different category. So, yeah, you've overcome the odds. You've made leaps and bounds. Because to me, Poet of the Year is the most coveted award in the National Poetry Awards. Other people may disagree, but I feel it's the most coveted award. So for you to have been nominated last year for the first time as Video of the Year, Poet of the Year, and won, and then to be back again in 2016, nominated for, in my opinion, the most coveted award, Poetry of the Year, is a huge, huge accomplishment. And the other things that you said you went through with your hearing issues and you know, the way you talk, you do talk differently, but your words are understood eloquently. That is why you're being nominated. That's why you have the success that you are. Television interviews, the radio interviews, the magazine articles, traveling all over the country, those are things that people will learn as time goes on. But as for right now, you're a former National Poetry Award winner who's being nominated for the second consecutive year and the highly, highly coveted award as Poet of the Year. So you got my vote. You got my support. And I'm letting everybody know, you know, who you are, what you're doing, why, and why they should vote for you. And on a personal level, you know I got mad love for you. We go way, way back. We work together on so many projects. You've helped me with by publishing. You've got 5 books out. You know, I'm still, you know, in the publishing game. And you've helped me and supported me in so many ways. So I'm just trying to give back in any way I can. You know, win or lose, you're achieving success. You know, your star is climbing. And I see bigger and better things for you in 2016. You know, I really
Thank
do.
you. Thank you.
Sincerely do. Yeah. Once again, everybody, Super Soul Native American, let's host DJ Gatsby. We're on our Friday night shows called Spotlight with Joy Alon. And again, she's nominated for Poet of the Year by the National Poetry Awards. She was a National Poetry Award winner last year. She's back, better than ever. Visit her website, www.joyalon. Is that joyalon.com or is it
It's also
your website?
joyelan.com. If you go to
Okay,
joyland.com, that's a photographer. That's a different person. That's not me.
Okay, so all right, so visit her website, www.authorjoyalon.com. You'll get all the information about who she is, all the accolades. Follow her on YouTube, her YouTube channel, as well on Facebook. And if you're on the West Coast, you know, check out magazines, publications, newspapers, television interviews. She's done it all. It's been a guest on my show about, I think it's maybe the third time that you've been on. And I really appreciate you coming back on. Voting is open at the website, www.thenationalpoetryawards.com, until August 22nd. You can vote as many times as you want. So, you know, please tell your family, friends, coworkers, and anybody that you know, go to that website and vote for Author Joy Alon as Poet of the Year. You know, I'm going to give a big shout out to a good friend of mine, James Gordon, a.k.a. Greatest Poet Alive. He's also nominated for a National Poetry Award, as well as Just Mike, my man Mike Williams from Chicago. He's nominated for a Religious Poet Spoken Word Artist of the Year. He's going to be on the show next Friday, so you'll get to know who he is and vote for him. Again, all three of these people I just mentioned are in totally different categories, so feel free to vote for James Gordon, Greatest Poet Alive, as well as Just Mike, a.k.a. Mike Williams, and my personal favorite, and the one I'm pledging my support to, simply because of her body of work and her talent, is author Joy Alon. Joy, before we go, is there anything you'd like to say, any last words, you know, to everybody that's out there that's been supporting you and following your career?
The only thing I just want to say is just never give up. Just keep pushing. And when you accomplish something, just keep going because that means you reached a goal. So keep going to the next bigger thing and just do you. And thank you so much.
That's it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, good night. Goodbye. I'll see you next Wednesday. Who's on Latin American Lit Block Radio Show? And my guest is going to be Reverend McWeldon from New York. He's been of Black Lives Matter. Actually, he's co-founder of the Orange County, Rockland County Black Lives Matter chapter in New York. Very powerful brother that does a lot for the community. But then again, Joy, you know that, man, I love you. You know, give your daughter a hug and,
I
you know, keep doing
will.
what you're doing. Keep in touch and we wish you the best of luck with your latest books, as well
Thank
as,
you.
you know, being nominated for Poet of the Year 2016. All right?
Thank you, and have a good evening.
right, you too. God bless. All right, that was Joy Alon. We're going to vote for her at the nationalpoetryawards.com as Poet of the Year. Listen, I'm getting ready for a wonderful weekend. I got an old school joint that I'm going to rock for y'all. Some of y'all might remember this. Peace. once again, everybody, thanks for listening to The Spotlight with DJ Gaffney, our Friday night edition of Bluetooth Network American Lit Block Talk Radio Show. To be a guest on my show, call me at 914-483-9496 or email me at djgaffneyx@yahoo.com. Don't forget to visit our website, www.whoswhoinAfricanAmericanLiterature.com, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, www.youtube.com/DJ Gaffney. Good night. God bless. And don't forget to join me next Wednesday, August 17th, when my guest will be Rockland and Orange County co-founder of Black Lives Matter chapter in New York. Peace.